All right. Well, let's get started today, and we're going to be on page 21, lesson 5. And we're going to be in Proverbs for most of it. We'll move around a little bit, but Proverbs. And so go to Proverbs chapter 19, first of all. And I got some chocolates for those ladies, and I'll make sure I get those to you a little bit later. Does character count? We're looking at different issues from the Bible, issues of life answered from the Bible, different, just different random topics. And so we're in lesson 5 now, page 21. Proverbs 19, verse number 1 says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." We live in a day where we don't have much of that. We don't even have it much in church. But the poor with integrity is better than those who are perverse in their lips, who are not full of integrity, who do not have honesty about them as a strong character. And let me read you something from Warren Buffett. I don't follow Warren Buffett. I don't even think Warren Buffett's a Christian. Maybe he is. I don't know. But I just read something, and because I was studying integrity, this caught my eye when I read it yesterday. Buffett looks for 3 things when he hires people, but only one of them truly matters. He said, we look for 3 things when we hire people. We look for intelligence, we look for initiative or energy, and we look for integrity. And if they don't have the latter, the first two will kill you. Because if you're going to get someone without integrity, you want them lazy and dumb. And that's true. I mean, we don't want someone with brains and initiative if they don't have integrity. And so he said, we look for those 3 things, but integrity is what we look for most. The missing ingredient for a lot of people and a lot of character today is trust and the ability to trust. And Proverbs chapter 1, you're in Proverbs, so I'm going to go to 1 and then go to chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord. The Bible says also in the book of Proverbs that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Or excuse me, the eyes of the Lord. Let me just quote it to you, because I'm going to get it wrong here. Not sure if I can find the exact verse I'm looking for, but I was starting to quote a different verse. The Lord, well, let me just say it this way. The Lord sees everything. The Lord trieth the spirits. The Lord knows the hearts. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, Proverbs 16:3, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. There's nothing that we can do that God doesn't see. God sees it all. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we used to go to Star Academy, I used to talk to the kids about how that your behavior is improved greatly because you have constant monitoring. There's the Star Academy employees that are watching over you at the juvenile center. You've got the camera that's up there in the corner watching what you do. And so your behavior has improved greatly. But when you leave this place, then you'll leave all that monitoring. And that's when you find out what you're really like. Now, if we'll just remember that God's camera is always on. And we're living in a world today where because people don't think of God watching them, they do a lot of things they shouldn't do. And so we have government setting up cameras everywhere now. And I'd rather have God than government, for sure. But does character count? And so let's look at this subject today on page 21. There is one word in Proverbs 19:1 that should catch the attention of all of us who desire to please the Lord, and that word is integrity. All of God's children should be people of character and integrity. No amount of ability or personality can serve as a fitting substitute for integrity. Wealth betters the poor. Wealth or ability, personality, none of that really matters. And that's what Buffett was saying. He said, all that intelligence and drive and energy is actually dangerous if it's not coupled with integrity. And so someone else said, character is what we are. Reputation is what others think we are. Someone said, character is the tree. Reputation is the shadow. And your reputation can be slanted, it can be tarnished, it can be gossiped and mutilated by the means of others' reputation, but your integrity can't. Your integrity is something God knows. God knows exactly what you really are, no matter what everybody thinks you are. The word integrity means to be complete, together in honesty, nothing to hide or fear, transparent, together, not taken apart or divided, but whole. And a person with integrity is not divided. People with integrity have nothing to hide. They're not ashamed or afraid of what you might find out. Now, all of us are human, so we all have embarrassing things in our life, I'm sure. Yet, there should be nothing that would be a major scandal, a major shame to us, should anyone see some things in our life that normally aren't seen. No one can take integrity from us. I like what the box says here. If we lose integrity, not your reputation. Reputation can be tarnished and people can spend a lot of money to ruin someone's reputation. But if you lose your integrity, it's because we give it up of our own volition. We gave it up on our own. And then the bottom paragraph here on page 21, we live in a world full of people who lie and cheat their way through life. Unfortunately, that even includes people in churches, all right? We know it includes people in government. We know there's a lot of that going on, and there's this situation ethics that people abide by. But there's a difference between what is biblical, what is quote-unquote moral, and what is legal. In today's world, there are things that are legal that are not right. They're not biblical. And moral should be biblical, but a lot of times moral is just what the majority thinks moral is. And so just because it's moral or legal doesn't mean it's biblical, doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean God would have us to do it. There are a lot of things that people have excused and have allowed to go on, and it's easy. The crowd is usually not the ones with the integrity, all right? And it's just hard to stand alone and do what's right. And so if you're going to get anything done in politics, they basically say you've got to play the game. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could be a politician. I think I would just go nuts. And I think that's why some of them do. But people who lie and cheat their way through life is becoming normal. And God's children must hold to a biblical standard and live a life of integrity. That's the difference. The Bible says in Matthew 5:13, we are to be the salt of the earth. And salt of the earth. That sometimes means that we're irritating and we're not going to be appreciated. Sometimes salt gets in a wound and it's irritating. Yet salt is a preservative. In the old days, they used to pack everything in barrels, you know, salt pork and things like that, because it's a preservative. It also is a blessing. The Bible tells us that we shouldn't be over salty, but we should be having our speech seasoned with salt, so that we're not just telling people what they want to hear. Everybody wants sugar. Nobody wants the salt, but we're to be the salt of the earth. And the cause of Christ suffers reproach because Christians lack character. And there's very few politicians today that are holding to this standard. Let us follow the example given to us through the life of Job. And let's look at some verses in Job and see what he had to say. Job chapter number 2. Job's a great story, and it gets kind of bogged down with some of the nonsense of his friends and whatnot. But Job, the basic story is that God allowed Satan to test Job. Job chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro and in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And so Satan had allowed Job to suffer some major heartache and heartbreak. His children were all killed, and he lost all of his possessions. And God says to Satan, You see, he still has his integrity. He's lost everything else. You've taken everything else from him, but he has not lost his integrity. Now, notice this, and this would be super, super hard for me, and I think it would be super hard for any man in here. But verse 9, his own wife says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Just give it up." You know, and he tells her, "No, don't speak like a foolish woman." That's amazing. I'm so thankful I don't have that kind of a wife. But listen, even then, you don't have to give away your integrity. And that's what this is about. It's about character that counts. And Job had an integrity that could not be destroyed, no matter what Satan did to him. Chapter 27 and verse 1. "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. I will still stand for what I know is right, and I know what I know to be true, and I'm not going to give in. And I'm not even going to agree with you guys just for the sake of getting along." Chapter 31. Remember, his wife is not an encouragement to him. I heard somebody say one time, if I had been Job, I would have been tempted to say, "God, you allowed the kids to be destroyed. You allowed all the animals and everything to be destroyed. Why didn't you take her too?" He didn't say that. He did rebuke her for being faithless in all this, but Job said in chapter 31, verse 1, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" See, that's something that, like Jesus talked about, committing adultery in your heart, that thought life inside of you that no one sees but who? God. See, the government might have cameras, but they can't see your thoughts. "For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high is not the destruction to the wicked and the strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Let God judge me. Let God weigh me and find out what is the issue." What a man of an integrity that he could say that. In other words, I don't care what you say. I'm going to let God be my judge, and I'm going to let God decide. And in the end, I'll let God determine and pass sentence on whatever he thinks. But I'm not going to give in to the pressures around me. He had these self-righteous friends that were preaching him one thing, and he had his wife who was discouraging him, and he lost everything, yet he did not lose his integrity. Christians have to be believable. I think a lot of times we talk about the gospel, and we dress up real nice and fancy, and we go into church, and we look the part, but we're not believable. Because in our everyday life, we don't say or act the same. We don't really act like we believe what we say we believe. Someone said, honesty is the best policy, but it's the only policy. Can you be trusted? And character, does character count? And so I'm going to look at these points today, page 22 and 23, and talk about this idea of integrity. And by the way, we love people with integrity. But we rarely understand just all that they go through and what they've gone through. Integrity comes from knowing God. The devil desired to destroy Job, but God said he is a man of integrity. As the Lord spoke of Job, he revealed the key to integrity. And that number one key is, hast thou considered my servant Job? The Lord used the personal possessive pronoun my. Do you know God? Does he know you? Integrity comes from knowing him. It does not come from knowing about him. A lot of people know about God. A lot of people know about the Bible. But do you know him? Do you have a personal walk with God? Is it a one-on-one conversation? Is it a one-on-one relationship that you know one another? God was so confident in Job. Now think about this. God was so confident in Job that he was willing to make, and I hate to say the word bet, but he was willing to make a little deal with the devil. And say, go ahead, you think Because if you read chapter 1, Satan says, well, the only reason why Job is such a goody two-shoes is because you bless him so much and you protect him. God said, make you a deal. I'll take away the blessings. I'll take away the protection. And you can do anything you want. You just can't kill him. You just can't touch him personally. And so Satan allowed his children to be killed, all of his stock to be destroyed, all of his wealth to be taken away. And yet he still didn't curse God. And God knew Job, see? God knew the integrity of Job. And some people, I do think that some people talk a big talk because life is comfortable. I think a lot of us, in fact, I know it's a whole lot easier for me to talk a talk when I'm comfortable, when everything is hunky-dory. But what usually speaks to our neighbors? What usually proves our faith when it's not comfortable, when there's no obvious reason to still hang on to your integrity and your faith? And so integrity comes from knowing God, and not just knowing about him, not just the head knowledge and the facts, but truly knowing him. And obviously, number one, you have to know the Lord in salvation. You have to be born again. If you're not born again, you can't possibly know the Lord like you need to know him, and there'll always be a lack of integrity. We must know without doubt, with peace and assurance, that we do belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. And so if you're not saved, that's number one. Then secondly, we also need to know him as we commune with him on a daily basis. In other words, I got saved and I began to know God. But how many of here would say you know everything you need to know about God? I mean, Paul said that I may know him. In other words, my pursuit is to know him even more and to get to know him and become closer and closer to him. So Philippians 3:10, Paul himself, that I may know him, that I may know him more and more. So there is no integrity for life, no wholeness, no completeness, unless we first know the Lord. And that's what makes us whole. And there is no substitute for knowing him, knowing the Lord. So integrity comes from knowing God. That's number one. And so, by the way, can you see why we have a lack of it in Washington, D.C.? Why can you see why we have a lack of it in our communities? People know about God. They know the stories, but they don't know him. And when push comes to shove, they shove off because they can't hang on to something they really don't know. But Job was able to hang on to the Lord in spite of everything. And then obviously then, secondly, integrity comes from fearing God. Job said there in chapter 2, verse 3, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God. Feareth God. We don't talk about fearing God very much. I read those verses in Proverbs already, Proverbs 1, Proverbs 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We don't live with a fear of God. Everything is painted as God is just that warm, fuzzy grandpa that does whatever we want. I'm glad that my God is not a warm, fuzzy grandpa that does whatever I want. I'm glad that God is a God to be feared. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't love me, and it doesn't mean I am scared of him. But I have a healthy fear of the Lord. And I fear, I guess I would say it this way, I fear the consequences of disobeying my God. The Word of God is written to me as my guide, from my friend, from my loving Father. But if I'm foolish enough to not listen, I fear what it does. I fear not being right with my God. I fear that. A man may say, I'm going to live right because I'm afraid I'll get a disease. And that's what's going on today. Doctors are going into public schools and they're telling these people, they're telling these teenagers, they're telling these girls, here's what's going to happen to you if you do this, this, and this. And they call them STDs. And they try to put the fear of the disease into their heart. I'll tell you what works. The fear of God is what works. And that going back to the illustration of the juvenile center and telling them, listen, if you'll just realize God sees everything. Mom and dad don't see everything. Police officer doesn't see everything. Pastors don't see everything, but God sees everything. And so I'm afraid I'll get a disease. And so that's why, listen, man should do right because he fears God, and God tells him to live righteously. And my desire is to please the Lord, knowing that he sees it all. A young person may say, I'm afraid of my parents. I'm afraid that my parents will catch me, so I'm going to stay out of trouble. Well, you know what? That's good, but that's pretty immature. That shows a lack of maturity if you're afraid of somebody else. If the only reason why you're not doing it wrong is because of another human being and human law. It's great for him to obey his parents. And that's where it starts. That's why God gives us parents. We learn to fear our parents. We learn to fear the consequences of not obeying them. But there comes a transition where the immaturity goes to maturity, where it's no longer about parents, our human father, but our heavenly father. And we recognize who it is we're really obeying and fearing. And so that's good, but we should do it because we need to fear God. You see, We're not going to answer to our parents or government or pastor in heaven, but we are going to answer to God. And we'll answer to him. And our children need to understand that they'll answer to him for how they obeyed their parents. And they'll answer to him for how they obeyed their authority. They'll answer to him ultimately. And so the box here says all of us needs to realize that we ultimately are personally accountable and responsible towards God. I wrote this down. The test of a child's character is their motivation. Who do they fear? And your children should fear you. And you say, I don't want my kids to be afraid of me. Well, I think we understand. I think obviously if there's law but there's grace, there's going to be a balance there. My children aren't scared of me, but they were fearful. They did fear their parents in that sense, and they still do. But the child's character, that test of their motivation, is their motivation. Who are they doing it for? What's the real purpose? Who's going to find out, and does God see? I think that's a real test. And I think you as a mom and dad, as a grandparent, should say, what motivates them? What is it that makes them behave? Is it just because they are going to get caught, or that I'm going to find out? Or is there any concern for what God thinks in all of this? I'm reading here next to the box. When we get to the end of life on earth, we are not going to stand before our parents or any other authority figure. We're going to stand before God. We are accountable to him. Now, some of us are going to be accountable for other people. In other words, if you're a parent, you'll stand before God and give an account for your children. If you're a pastor, you'll stand before God and give an account for the people that you pastor. But as individuals, we'll give an account for ourselves, and no one else will we stand before except for him. So let's fear God, not a disease. Let's fear God, not people. God testified that Job feared him. God said, Job fears me. Have you considered my servant Job? He fears me. All right? He fears me above what you can do to him, Satan. You can do all kinds of stuff to him, but he fears me, all right? Do you fear him today? Integrity comes from fearing God. It comes from knowing God and fearing God. I love this. Some of you have heard me say this many times, but I want to go to Genesis 39. I love this answer. This illustrates the point. Young 17-year-old guy, sold by his brothers in Egypt, into Egypt as a slave. His brothers go home and tell his dad he's dead. As far as everybody that knows him is concerned, he's dead. He's not home. He's not in his own country. As far as everybody knows, he doesn't exist anymore. And he's finally got it going the right way a little bit. He's finally starting to see things turn, and he's become popular with his boss, Potiphar. And he's starting to make a name for himself, and he's starting to get a position. And along comes Mrs. Potiphar and tries to seduce him and suggest adultery. There's nobody in his life that's going to even care at this point. There's no dad or mom that even knows he's still alive. There's nobody that he knows is going to see what he could do here. In Genesis 39:9, he says to her, he refused in verse 8, verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. He said, there's one person that's still watching. There's one person in my life that still cares what I'm going to do. And that's why I'm not going to do it. I can't do this because of God. Boy, what? Even though Jacob had no clue this was going on, as a parent, I can't be more thrilled and blessed to have a child like that. That's obeying because God sees, because God's watching out. How often would we need the police to do anything if we had God being the fear in people's hearts and minds? And so this Joseph, even now, what did it do for him? And I love this too. He does right and he goes where? Prison. Because she lies about him and he goes to prison. Well, see what integrity gets you? Well, if you know the story, and I hope you teach this to children, they need to understand. Integrity is worth it, but it's not going to be instantly worth it. It's going to cost you. He went from a decent job to prison for being a man of integrity and fearing God. And that goes back to a passage in Psalm 15. I love this verse in Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that, here's the phrase right here. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I'm going to hold to what I've committed to, even though it hurts me. It costs me. That is a man of integrity. That's a person of integrity. So integrity comes from knowing God. It comes from fearing God. And integrity comes from living for God. Again, Job chapter 2 and verse 3, hast thou considered my servant Job, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Well, that's a word we don't use hardly anymore. Escheweth. It means he removed his foot from the path of evil. He detested it. He hated it. He was alarmed by it. He eschews evil. He recognizes this is not the way I want to go. Often the first step on the path in the wrong direction looks inviting, but we must think of where it leads. And so that's the third point, living for God, recognizing. And so here's Joseph, who sees that this woman's got this bad idea in her head. And he starts to try to stay away from her. He's not wanting to be around her. And he ultimately has to say, no, I cannot do this and sin against God. He eschews evil. It doesn't matter if it's going to cost him. It doesn't matter if he's going to lose, and he did. But he eschews evil. He's going to live for God anyway. You know, we got to remember, and this is why I love the story of Job. We got to remember that our friends, Job had friends like this. Our friends might be, it's obviously Job. You are not right with God. I mean, and what a lousy deal when your own friends are acting like that. All right? When your own friends are acting like something's up with you, you know? I mean, it makes you just want to cave. Just throw in the towel. Just forget it. Toss your hands up there. And of course, everything goes wrong. And Lord, I don't know what I did to bring this on. And there's just frustration. And yet I see the temptation, I see the sin, and I eschew evil. I am going to stay away from what's wrong. I am not going to allow this to overcome me. And so he holds on to what he knows is right. Every day we must make decisions. And as believers, we must choose the things that please our Lord, not just because we are supposed to. It's not because we're supposed to, but because we love him. We live for him. We desire to please him. And because we love him, this is holy living. Not because we have to. And again, as a parent, I've got children that are teenagers, some in college. my desire is not just that they do it because they're supposed to. You have to do it because you're the pastor's kid. That's not going to work. They have to do it because they want to do it. They love the Lord. They desire. They've seen demonstrated in their own life that this is the right way for them, that this is rewarding for them. They will be blessed by doing the right thing. That's holy living, living not to be seen of men, but living for God. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 20. I love this verse. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 7. It's just a promise in the Bible. It's something that we can, that we can, as parents, take to heart. The just man walketh in his integrity. There's a colon there, and to me that just means there's some time lapse. The just man walketh in his integrity. So Job is 40 some chapters long. The just man walketh in his integrity, and it just takes a long time. Joseph, 17 years old when he's sold into slavery. It's not till age 30 or something that it finally gets corrected into his favor. The just man walks in his integrity, and then there's this long pause of having to wait. And then at the end it says, his children are blessed after him. God rewards some people, God brings them over to the balcony of heaven and says, here, look down. And God says, see, there's the reward for integrity. You didn't necessarily realize it in the present, but there's the reward for integrity. There's the reward for doing what's right and for serving. And that's a promise. His children are blessed after him. Some of us are probably recipients of having integrity in our parents or grandparents. I know we are recipients of the integrity in our founding fathers in this country. But integrity comes from living for God. If you desire to be a person of integrity, you must know the Lord, you must fear him, and you must live for him. And in this day of integrity crisis, remember that character does count. And it is still right. And even in the business world, they recognize people with it. They recognize people who are trustworthy. And yes, they want intelligence. Yes, they want energy. Yes, but they also want integrity. And integrity involves honesty in personal life. You know, you won't be lazy because you know it's not right to be lazy. It's easy to be lazy unless you know God's watching. And then you can't be lazy anytime. There's just not a time to slack from what we're supposed to be doing. King David was king. Who's going to tell him what to do? And he decided not to go to battle and just stay home. And it cost him greatly because he just wasn't where he should have been. And then he ended up being in a situation where he sees Bathsheba, and on it goes. And so integrity comes from knowing God, fearing God, and then living for the Lord. We're done a little bit early today, but I hope that you appreciate this subject, and we're going to look at that more in the second hour. Anybody?